Good morning. Today's daf in Chagiga, Chaf Beis. We're in Chaf Alpha and Beis. We're starting with the words Rav Amar. We just started the third parak of the Masechta. The third parak of Masechta of Chagiga is Tumah Tahara, specifically Truma and Kodesh. And just simply comparing and contrasting Truma to that of Kodesh. 11 distinctions that are made in which we're all going to be tilting more Chamor, more strict as it relates to Kodesh over that of Truma. So there are 11 halachas enumerated in our Mishnah. So when we started the parak, which was yesterday, so we went through all 11 distinctions and chumras that we find by Kodesh over that of Truma. It's a lot of information. There are 11 distinctions. Then over the course of our sugya, we're going to be discussing, I think, all 11. We opened up the discussion in the Gemara with the first of the distinctions, that is Kli B'Soch Kli. So the Mishnah says that you can tovel Kli B'Soch Kli, taking one Kli. Now I have props. So you could take one Kli, put inside another Kli, and tovel in the mikvah, and presumably both kelim are going to be tahor, not presumably, but that's when it comes to kelim that are going to be used for truma. But when it comes to kelim that are going to be used for kodesh, you can't do Kli B'Soch Kli. So you can't tovel one Kli within another Kli. That's the first of the many halachas in the Mishnah. Before we go back and discuss in detail, which is going to be the entirety of today's daf, we are just a quick summary of the halachas in the Mishnah. We're not going to go through all 11, but just in terms of organizing that information. So if you recall in yesterday's daf, so we saw the position of Rav Ila. Rav Ila said that the reason why you can't tovel Kli B'Soch Kli is because of a concern of Chatzitza. What's going to happen now is that I'm going to take this Kli and put it inside this Kli, so there's going to be contact between the two Kalim. That contact will continue as it goes into the mikvah. And that obviously will be a barrier for the water not being able to come into contact with all surface areas of both kelim, and that's a concern. Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, if that's a concern regarding Kodesh, so why isn't that a concern regarding Truma as well, for the kelim that are going to be used for Truma? Hold that thought. The Gemara is going to ask that question a little bit later on. But meanwhile, that is Rav Ila's explanation. Now that's funny, said the Gemara, because if you look at number 5 in the Mishnah, the fifth Chumra, so that was the discussion regarding untying knots, meaning you have certain ropes, which we're going to assume now are kalim and need to be toveled in the mikvah. So you have certain ropes. Do I need to untie before putting it to the mikvah? So if it's something used for truma, no, I don't have to untie. But if it's something used for kodesh, so now I have to untie it. So once again, over there, what's the issue? The issue over there clearly is chatzitza. So now the Gemara noted that according to Rav Ila, this is all yesterday's stuff. According to Rav Ila, so the first issue of Kli B'Soch Kli is a function of chatzitza. And the untying of the ropes is also a function of chatzitza. And so what happens is that the Mishnah is really repeating itself. Because even though there are two different examples, but two different examples on the same issue. They're going on the same line. So then how many cases are there in the Mishnah? So Rav Ila said, I'll tell you what. There aren't 11 cases in the Mishnah. There are 10 cases in the Mishnah. Or if you'd like, in other words, there are 11 cases, but there are really 10 principles in the Mishnah. Okay, so what Rav Ila does is he takes our Mishnah, and consolidates it into 10 and not 11. In other words, when we went through the Mishnah yesterday, we counted 11, but according to Rav Ila, it really comes out to be 10. And then we also discussed yesterday how Rav Ila breaks up the first 5 and the second 5. The first 5 are a real achshash da araisa of Toma, right? Jerara de Toma, that was the Gemara's language. And as a result of that, the first 5 are going to be not only applicable to Kodesh, but even Chulin Shanasa al Taras to Kodesh, as opposed to the second 5 of the Mishnah, where it's rabbinic institution. They are takanas of the Chachamim, and therefore they apply to Kodesh, but they don't apply to Chulin Shanasa al Taras to Kodesh. Adkan, that is yesterday's daf, and yesterday's daf was all the position of Rabbi Ila. Rabbi Ila gave an explanation of our Mishnah in terms of what the concern is regarding Kli B'Soch Kli. Let's go on.
The Gemara did go through why I may need
both examples. Correct. Rav Amar, the Gemara now goes into the sheet of Rava. So this is new for us. This is the first time we're seeing the sheet of Rava. Rava is going to give a different explanation of what is going on behind Kli B'Soch Kli. Rav Amar, the Sefer Avim Mishim Chatzitza, Reish Allah Mishim Chatzitza. Now, the Sefer is talking about Chatzitza, meaning the untying of the ropes. That clearly is an issue of Chatzitza. And now that means that Kli B'Soch Kli is not a function of Chatzitza. So the concern is as follows, is that I may end up toveling one Kli within inside another. Let's say we take little utensils, forks and, and needles, and I put them inside a big bowl or whatever, inside another kli. And then what I do is I take those, I take it and I dip in the mikvah. Kind of like, and hold this thought, kind of like the basket that we do end up using. Now, the basket that we do end up using, so hold that thought right now, because that's a little bit confusing. Our Gemara right now is telling us that it's no good. Now, why is it no good? Because what there's not going to be is that there's not going to be enough connection between the water inside the larger kli and the outside mikvah. In other words, in order for there to be a connection, there has to be something called hashaka. Hashaka means that there is contact, not just contact, but enough contact between the inner and outer water so that the inner water is considered mikvah water. So now the problem, says Rava, is that if I take my forks and my needles and I put it inside a larger kli and I put that kli into the mikvah, so now the problem is going to be is that that water inside the larger kli is not considered a mikvah because there's not enough connection between the inner water and the outer water. Now the Gemara goes on to point out this is a basic idea when it comes to mikvahs. Kid did none. Sorry, I skipped a couple words. How much connection do I need? I need the width of Shofar Sanod to be explained in just a moment. Kididnan, here's the Mishnah. Mishnah in Mikvaos, Eruv Mikvaos, Kishfalfer Sanod. So how much am I going to need in order to connect mikvahs? So in other words, let's say I want to connect the mikvah. Why would I want to connect the mikvah? Really simple. Let's say one mikvah is kosher and the other mikvah is not kosher. For a simple reason of it doesn't have the requisite amount. That's not holding enough water. So as long as the two mikvahs are connected, so then what we're going to say is that the smaller mikvah is in fact connected to the larger mikvah. Larger mikvah is connected. The smaller mikvah is just simply an attachment to the larger mikvah, and therefore it's going to be a kosher mikvah as well. So this is considered connection. This connection in halacha is called hashaka, and what the Mishnah Mikvah is telling us is that there is considered a connection, but, and here's the important part, there has to be a certain width of the connector of the quote-unquote pipe connecting the two. How wide does it have to be? What does the circumference need to be? Kishvel Ferris unknown. So you take one of those old jugs. Now, I say old jug. I don't know what I'm talking about. In other words, with the popular jugs back in the day, you look at the mouth of that old jug. So you see the circumference of that. That's how much of a connection do I need. Now, the Gemara says, Kovya ukechala kishtei etzbaos chozersim kaman. So the Gemara over here gives us a couple of ways in terms of how to measure it. So first of all, take the mouth of that old jug and don't measure it from the inner, from the interior, but you have to measure it, including the actual material itself of the opening. And how much does it come out to? So basically take your two fingers and turn them around. So in other words, the opening of the pipe for Hashaka has to be enough where the circumference is basically two fingers wide. Okay, so just a couple of ways in terms of how to measure this opening. If the opening is not that big, so then you do not have connection between the two mikvahs. Okay, so this is a basic halacha of Erev mikvahs. And so now, when I take my kli, here we go, props for today. Hold on. And I take my needle, sorry for the listening audience who don't get to see this. And I take my needle and put it in, and now I submerge this in the mikvah. So now, even though there may be a little bit of spillover between the mikvah water and the water now inside, so even though that's true, but is now the inner water considered mikvah water, so that the needles inside are now going to become tahor? So it depends. If the opening is, if the gap over here is wide enough where it's kishofer, it's a node, so then this water inside is going to be considered mikvah water. If, on the other hand, it's just there's no opening over here, and it all is just the water just going overflowing over the top, but it doesn't. You do not have the circumference of Shofar Sanod. So then the inside water is not considered mikvah water, and therefore the kelim are not going to be receiving a proper tahara. So this is now the concern. The concern is that when I'm doing kli b'so kli, so it may end up being that the interior is not considered mikvah water because I don't have Shofar Sanod, and therefore the kelim inside did not receive a proper tahara. Okay. So this is now a totally different explanation of the Mishnah. This is not Ravila of yesterday's daf. This is Rava of today's daf. So the Gemara says, Savralah. So the Gemara is going to make a couple of comments regarding Rava's explanation. Number one, says the Gemara, we're on the top of Chav Beis Amad Aleph. Savalaka Hadam Rav Nachman Amar Rav Baravua Yud Alf Mal Shana Khan Shades Rishonis Ben Lakosh Ben Lachulin Shanaswa Tarasa Kodesh. Achronis Lakosh Avala Lachulin Shanaswa Tarasa Kodesh. So first of all, according to Rava now, it's not 10 cases like Rav Ila insisted, but now it's going to be 11 cases. Because the first case over here has nothing to do with Chatzitza. The first case over here of Klipas Ochli has to do with the fact that the interior water is not mikvah water. In other words, you don't have the Shvoferes Anod gap in order to allow the interior water to be mikvah water. It's a totally different issue. So now how many cases are there according to Rav Ila? The answer is 11. Fine. Perfect. And now in terms of breaking up the Mishnah into two halves, so we'll do it, but obviously it's going to be an odd number. So the breakup is going to be 6 and 5. Remember, yesterday's daf for Ravila was 5 and 5. So according to Rav, now it's going to be 6 and 5. And again, with that same distinction, meaning the first 6 are going to be chshashos, are going to be concerns that if the concern is in fact a correct concern, then it's going to be a tumadar raisa. And therefore, not only does it apply to Kodesh, it applies to Chul and Shanasu al Taras HaKodesh, as opposed to the second 5, which are rabbinic institutions and therefore only apply to Kodesh and not to Chul and Shanasu al Taras HaKodesh. Good. Now, we have two ways of explaining Kli B'Sol Kli. This is now classic Gemara. So one, we have two explanations. So what are we looking for? Practical differences between the two explanations, otherwise known as the Nafka Mina. Gemara wants to know. Ma'ika bein derava l'rabbi Ila. So what's the difference between the two? Ika beinayu salve gargusta shemilem kelem v'hit b'ilam. So the Gemara says the practical difference between the two is going to be a basket. And I say a basket, I mean the basket with a lot of big holes in them. So now, Lamanda, Mishum Chatzitza Ika. If your concern is Chatzitza, that's a concern. Meaning, if there's contact between the inner and the outer Kli, so it doesn't matter that the outer Kli is a basket. It doesn't matter that it has a lot of holes in it. If there's contact between the two of them, like Rav Ila is concerned about, so now we are on the front of Chatzitza. The water now is not making contact with all surface areas, and therefore the tefillah is not going to be good. However, Lamanda, I'm in Mishum Gzerah Shamayat Bal Machtim Vitzinaros Bi Kli She'en Bifiv Kishvaferes Anod Savar Gargusti She'en Bifim Kishvaferes Anod Leika. However, if you're holding like Rav Ilah, where the issue is an issue of the inner water not being mikvah water because you don't have Shofaris Anod, if we're talking about a basket, the holes in the basket are wide enough where this is not going to be a concern, meaning the baskets have really wide holes in them. The water inside the basket is, in fact, considered mikvah water, and so therefore there's no concern in the case of either a sal or a gargusne. According to Rava. And that means according to Rava now, there would be no concern in such a situation. So we have now what's called a nafkamina between the two. There are other nafkaminas as well. Tosos over here, top Tosos, entertains other nafkaminas, but we're going to go on. Okay, good. You're right. There's nothing wrong with the basket. I mean, the Gemara. Right. Even Rav Ila who says that there's a chatzitza, the chatzitza issue is only by Kodesh. It's not going to be by Truma. It's certainly not going to be by Chulin. Okay. So the Gemara says that this is Rava being consistent, because Rava says that if I tovel kalim, let's say utensils in a basket, salve gargusne shemilim kalim vid bilam tarim umikvah tarim. Sorry, let's pause over there. So number one, Rava made this as a halachic statement that if I take utensils and put it in a basket and tovel in the basket, so all the kalim are going to be tahor. In other words, the mikvah, the tefillah worked, and the water inside the basket is considered mikvah water. Okay, good. The next statement of Rava is going to be a little bit confusing, admittedly. Now, let's say I take a mikvah and I put a partition in the mikvah water. And let's say that partition happens to be, it's lattice. Okay? Now, if I didn't know the Gemara, I would have suggested, okay, the mikvah is still kosher. In other words, because the holes of the lattice are wide, certainly wide enough of Shofaris Anod, and so therefore there's communication between the two. So what if I didn't know the Gemara, this is going to be a little bit confusing. If I didn't know the Gemara, I would have said that the mikvah is still a kosher mikvah. What Rav is about to teach us is, it's not a kosher mikvah. So the umikvah shechalku b'savik argusni ha'tov v'sham lo'ato lo tefila. That partition is going to actually divide the mikvah into two. Now, obviously it's confusing because we learned in the first statement of Rav that when you're toveling in a basket, you're good. In other words, you take your kalim and you put them in a basket and tovel in the mikvah, you're good. Why? because there's communication between the water outside the basket and the water inside the basket. And meanwhile, he also said, literally in the same breath, that if I take a lattice and I put in the mikveh, dividing the mikveh into two, so then the mikveh is no longer good. So daha ara kula chalchula mechalchala. So in terms of helping us understand this a little bit better, he says, consider the following. So as far as the ground is concerned, so the ground is porous. So, right, you know this in Florida, by the way. You just dig a little bit, right? I had work with my outside pipe just a little while ago, and you dig a little bit, and all of a sudden there's water. It's water everywhere. And I understand the water in Florida, the water table is really high. So you're going to find water everywhere. So anyway, so kula chalchula mechalcha, so the ground is very porous. Ubein and dika memsa b'makamechad. Now here's what we don't say, meaning everyone would reject this out of hand. This is something that's intuitive and we understand. Let's say I dig a hole in the ground, less than 40 saw, and it's filled up with water. How about this as an argument? Well, I know that right now this hole in the ground has less than 40 saw, but you know the ground is very porous, and there's water adjacent. It's just, you know, you just got to get through a little bit of the ground. So we say that? Of course we don't say that. Meaning the mem saw have to be collected in one area. So here as well, the mem saw have to be collected in one area. And if the mikvah is separated by lattice, so now it's no longer considered one area, and therefore it's not going to be a kosher mikvah. Okay. It is a strange comparison, admittedly, comparing lattice to earth. I admit that that's a strange comparison, but the Gemara says it's predicated on the same principle. Okay. Right. No, but over there you have one. No. In other words, connection between a kosher mikvah and a non-kosher mikvah. So over there, but at least it's connected to a kosher mikvah. Over here, it's one mikvah, and we put a lattice right in the middle, and now we don't have, in other words, we don't have a connection between a kosher and non-kosher mikvah. We took in the mikvah and we spent the two. Okay.
Each hole is less than the mishpah.
No, I don't think so. In other words,
it's like a sieve.
No. The holes themselves are, let's say, kishva feres a note.
Then why isn't it?
Because you divide the mikveh into two. I understand. It's a little bit to process over here. It took me a while to get my head wrapped around it, and I don't have my head fully wrapped around it yet. But okay.
If you only had one hole, then it's okay. But if you had all these holes, it's not good.
No. That goes back to the point I just made to Danny. In other words, when I'm connecting a kosher mikvah and a non-kosher mikvah, so there, that one hole that connects the two is going to be good.
But you put a lattice.
But I take the lattice and I put it in, dividing the two mikvahs into two half mikvahs. Oh, so that's division. You're struggling with the same thing that I'm pointing out over here. Okay, good. Okay. V'hani mili b'kli tahor. Now, what did we just learn together? So we learned together that if I take a kli and tovel it within another kli, so if there's shofaris anod, you're good. And if there's no shofaris anod, then we're not good. Okay. The Gemara now is going to qualify. We're going to throw in a major qualifier. And that is, v'hani mili b'kli tahor. Here, we're talking about where there's no shofaris anod, and I tovel kli b'soch kli, and even though I know we have been arguing since the beginning of Shir today, that it's therefore the interior water is not going to be a kosher mikvah. However, we're going to throw in the following qualifier. If let's say the outer kli was tame, and now I'm not toveling kli b'soch kli because I want only the kelim inside to become tahor, I also want the outside kli to become tahor as well. If that's in fact the case, so now we're going to say the following. Even if there's no shofar sanot hole connecting the exterior water and the interior water, but because the tefillah is going to be good for the exterior keli, it's also going to be good for the interior keli as well. See it inside the Gemara. The v'hani mili b'kli tahor ava b'kli tama migu desaka tefillah lekule gufe damana sakulu na mili kelim de isbe. So because the tefillah is going to work for the exterior keli, it's also going to work for the interior keli as well. So this is an argument of migu. Migu we see numerous times throughout Shas, used in numerous different applications. This is a really interesting application of migu. Meaning migu is telling me that I know the interior water of that outer keli is not mikvah water, but because the tefillah works for the outer keli, we're also going to say it's going to work for the inner keli as well. Okay. That's, again, another huge concept to try to wrap our heads around. meaning we are simultaneously saying, I admit today's daf is confusing. We are simultaneously saying that the inner water of the kli, of the big kli, is not mikvah water, but at the same time, because it is in fact a good tefillah for the outer kli, it's also going to be a good tefillah for all the kelim that are inside as well. Okay, that's a lot to digest. The Gemara over here says, and I'll tell you what, we're going to learn a Mishnah Mikvos. The Mishnah Mikvos is going to make this point very clearly. Did not. Now, I say clearly, by the way, it's kind of funny because the Mishnah, as we're going to read it, is not going to sound so clear. The Gemara is going to have to clean it up, so to say. So first, the Mishnah in Mikvos, Kalim Shemilim, Kalim Vit Bilan. So let's say I take a Kli, fill it with other Kalim, and Tovalim in the Mikvah, Hare Elu Taharim, their Tahor, V'im Lo Taval, Mayim HaMuravim, Ashi Muravim, Kishvafer Zanud. And if there is no connection until it's connected, Kishvafer Zanud. Right? That was clear, right? It wasn't clear. Meaning the Mishnah is hard to read. My Kamar. And immediately the Gemara's reaction after reading that Mishnah in Mikvaos is, what just happened over there? What did we just say? So v'im lo tavol? What do you mean, im lo tavol? You tovold. So hachi Kamar. So here we're going to have to say, we are going to say a pshat in the Mishnah in Mikvaos. And that is v'im in utzarech lat bilo, umayim umaravim achi umaravim kishofer zanod. Ah, the Mishnah in Mikvaos is telling me the following. If I'm tovling kli b'soch kli, and the outer kli needs a tefillah, right. Good. So now it's going to be effective not only for the outer kli, it'll be effective for the interior kelim as well. But if the outer kli doesn't need a tefillah, and so now the inner kelim, how are they being tovel by being put in a mikvah? Well, they're only being put in a mikvah if the communication between the interior water and the exterior water is kishvafer zanod. I need a hole large enough that it you have your two fingers that are able to go through that hole. So then and only then is the interior water going to be considered mikvah water. That's what the Mishnah Mikvos is saying. I encourage you, by the way, go over the Mishnah Mikvos numerous times. It's really hard to read in the Mishnah. But anyway, that's the Gemara's understanding of the Mishnah Mikvos. Okay. Hmm? The Mishnah Mikvos is telling us two halachas. One. If the outer keli requires a tefillah, sure. So then you're good. Even if you don't have shofar sanod, even if you don't have that gap. And if the outer keli is already tahor, so now you need communication. Now I need a connector between the interior water and the exterior water.
In that case, does the
So as long as I have a gap of two fingers, so then the interior water is in fact going to be considered mikvah water. And now the kelim inside are going to become tahor. Okay. If I don't have shofar as a node, so then there is no communication. It's not going to make it tamei. In other words, it just simply won't be a tefillah. Okay. Now the had the Rabbi Eli Tanaihi. Now the Gemara points out the Rabbi Eli is subject to machlokas Tanai, meaning what is the predicate reason behind kli b'soch kli? So over the course of yesterday's daf and today's daf, so we saw it's a machlokes between Rav Ila and Rava. Again, to review, according to Rav Ila, the issue is chatzitza. According to Rava, the issue is that you don't have communication. You're not going to have a gap wide enough to create communication between the interior water and the exterior water. The Gemara now points out, it's machlokes tanaim. Detanya relent on a brisa, salva gargusne, shemilam kelim, beit bilam bein lakosh, bein latruma taharin. So the brisa teaches us that if I have a basket with big holes in the side of the basket, and I say big holes, by the way, in other words, kishva feres anod, and now I tovel, so kli b'soch kli, and what do I have? I have, it doesn't matter if it's kosher, it doesn't matter if it's truma, it's all going to be tar, it's all going to be good. And Abishol omer l'truma v'lo l'kodesh, and Abishol says, it works for truma, but it doesn't work for kodesh. So over here, what we see in the brisa is exactly this issue, meaning if we're saying that the issue over here is an issue of communication. So that's the Tanakama. Tanakama says the issue is communication. In other words, I need the interior water to be connected to the exterior water, and I'm using a sal, which has big holes in it. You're good. You're good. And therefore, it doesn't matter if it's truma, it doesn't matter if it's kodesh, it's all going to be good. Because the interior water is considered mikvah water. And it's going to be good in both circumstances. Masha Inkain, according to Abishal. So Abishal says, no, it's not good. Why? Because he doesn't see this as being an issue of communication. He sees this as being an issue of chatzitza. And even if I'm using a basket, okay, I know that there's big holes in it. but there may be contact between the inner kli and the outer kli. And if in fact there's contact, so then there's going to be an issue of chatzitza. Okay, adkan. It doesn't take us to the end of the sugya, but now we could pause. So what we have seen now between yesterday and today is that the first of the 11 distinctions between Truma and Kodesh is Kli B'Soch Kli, so that by Truma I could do Kli B'Soch Kli, I could Tova Kli B'Soch Kli, by Kodesh I cannot Tova Kli B'Soch Kli, and why can't I do it for Kodesh? So over the course of yesterday and today's daf, there are two proposed reasons. One is a concern, it's an issue of, it's an issue of Chatzitza, that when I take Kli B'Soch Kli, so what's going to happen now is that the weight of the inner kli is going to make contact with the outer kli. Or in other words, the bottom of the inner kli, sorry for being so confusing, it's much easier to see this visually, the bottom of the inner kli is now going to be touching the top of the outer kli, and now because of that contact, it's going to prevent water coming to contact with all surface area, and that's why it's a problem. Again, I'm only foreshadowing, we're right at the threshold. The Gemara is going to ask the question, if you're worried about that regarding Kodesh, so why aren't you worried about that regarding Truma? Hold that thought. We're going to come back to that. Anyway, that's one explanation. That's Ravi Law's explanation, Chatzitza. And the other one is Rava. Rava says, no, the issue is not Chatzitza at all. We're not worried about Chatzitza. Chatzitza comes up later in the Mishnah. That's with the knots. That's where we talk about Chatzitza. But what is going on over here? What's going on over here is that if I do Kli B'Soch Kli, so what's going to end up happening is that I'll put the outer Kli into the mikvah. I will not create a gap wide enough of two fingers. So that means to say that the water in the outer kli is not mikvah water. And if it's not mikvah water, so therefore the kalim inside are not going to become tahor because they weren't submerged in a mikvah. How do I create communication between two mikvahs, erev mikvahs? I need a gap of shofar as a node. If I don't have that gap, so then it's not going to be a good tefillah. Okay. And that's the concern. The nafka meaning between Rav and Rav Ilah, the Gemara points out a basket. Basket that's made up of wickers that has big holes in it. If your concern is chatzitza, it's going to be still be a concern. If your concern is communication and shofar is a node, no problem over here. Good. That is a quick review of a slightly difficult Gemara, but hopefully I have it now much clearer in my head, and hopefully I'm able to communicate that with you as well. Okay. Wow. With all those questions, I clearly wasn't clear. Yeah. Danny. What? Again, Migu, this is an interesting application of Migu. It sounds like from the Gemara over here that, at least according to Rava, he does hold of Migu. He has the Brisa supporting it as well. I'm not sure whether if you're Rav Ilah and you're worried about Chatzitza, so would you agree to this Migu? That's a great question. I don't know the answer. Okay, let's go on. Ihachi. So finally now, after having gone through the Gemaras regarding the two explanations of our Mishnah of Kli B'Soch Kli, so now the Gemara is going to ask the question, which, quite frankly, we could have asked at the beginning. But now we know that we have two reasons, and okay. And Iachi Trumanami. So, what about Truma? Yes. Meaning, whichever explanation you go with. You go with Rava, you go with Rav Ilah, yeah. and it's Chatzitza, or it's, you don't have the inner water, interior water is not considered mikvah water, whichever explanation you want to go through. In other words, there's a concern. So if there's a concern by Kodesh, why isn't there a concern by Truma as well? So, Ihachi Truma Nami. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why we're not worried about Truma. Because what you have to look regarding Truma is, you have to look at the consumer base of Truma. Who are the consumer base of Truma? So it's Kohanim. Okay, good. So, Laman Kamin Chaverim, Chaverim Ede Yade. So the Gemara says that it's Chaverim. Now, whichever concern it is, meaning if you are knowledgeable in Halacha, so what you're going to do is that you're going to be careful. Meaning, let's say, for example, you're knowledgeable about chatzitza. Good. So when I tova kli b'soch kli, so I'll know that the only way that the tefillah is going to work is that there's no contact. Or if, let's say, I'm knowledgeable about shofar sanod, I'll know that in order for the forks and the needles inside to become tahor, I need communication between the inner water and the outer water. How does communication created? I need a gap of shofar sanod. Oh. So in other words, if our consumer base is chaverim, so they're knowledgeable. So Yahi Kodesh Nami Chazilei. I'm sorry. Ihachi Kodesh Nami. So why don't we say the same thing regarding Kodesh as well? Meaning, by Kodesh, can we make the same argument? In other words, we're only going to work with knowledgeable people. So the Gemara says, yeah, but by Kodesh, we're not only working with knowledgeable people. So Chazilei Amar, it's Vazo Matbil. Because what's going to happen? is that you, let's say, are toveling for Kodesh, and now looking over your shoulder because he wants to see what you're doing, right? Occasionally, I get this, all right? I'm at the mikvah, I'm toveling my kelim, and there's somebody there. Okay, now I'm under observation. Okay, good. I get it. I look a certain part, so I get it. So the Gemara says that what's going to happen is that by Kodesh, so now the Amaretz is going to be looking over, seeing what you're doing. Oh, Kli B'Sor Kli, and he'll mimic you, but he will not know the halachas, and he won't do as good a job as you. Or let's say clear. In other words, his tefillah won't be good because he wasn't sensitive to the issues of either Chatzitza or Shofar Zanot. So Chumanami Chazi Le Amaretz V'Azamat Bi. So the Gemara says, so why don't we say the same thing regarding a Truma as well? In other words, okay, so the Kohen is toveling his kelim for Truma, looking over his shoulders on Amaretz, watching him. He's going to try to copy him, but again, without the knowledge base, he's not going to do a good job. So lo mikabli aminayu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I'll tell you what. By Truma, however, if let's say what happens is that the Amaretz comes over to you and says, would you take my kelim to use for your truma, or would you take my truma? So what I'll simply say to him is, no, I'm not going to take your truma. And you could do that. In other words, and not only can you do that, you're probably going to want to do that. Meaning the Am Haaretz is not careful about Tumah Tahara, and so therefore if he's handling truma, so the chances are, it's more than just a chance. But that truma that he comes into contact with is tummy. And so you're not going to accept it from him. So the Gemara says, Kodesh Nami, just wait 1 second, let's just finish the back and forth. Kodesh Nami lo nikbel minayu. So the Gemara says, why don't we say the same thing regarding Kodesh as well? So, right, just simply say no. No, thank you. So, Havile Eva. So the Gemara says no. Because a rejection of Kodesh from an Amaretz is basically going to create animosity. And therefore, hold that thought. Trumanami Havile Eva. So the Gemara says, by Truma, aren't you also going to create animus? So the Gemara says, Lo Ichbale Dazo Yavle Lekoin Amaretz Chavre. Oh. Because when it comes to Truma, so let's say you're a Chaver, and an Amaretz comes over to you and offers you Truma, so say, no, thank you. No, thank you. I appreciate it, but no, thank you. So there, when the Amaretz gets rejected, but he has other people to turn to. Not every Kohen was a Chaver. Some Kohanim were Amaratzim. So what he'll do is he'll just simply go to a Kohen Amaretz and say, here, I don't know what was wrong with him, by the way. He's got his issues, but here, take my Truma. Okay, good. Fine. So in other words, by Truma, there's another avenue. But by Kodesh, there is no other avenue. Meaning, if we as the I don't want to overstate it. We as the guardians of the Beis Hamikdash. So right, and when I say we, by the way, it's not we versus them. Meaning, Amaratzim are Jews. In other words, the same as us. However, we are just the more careful about halacha, and they come over with their kelim that they tovel for Kodesh, and we just simply say no to them. So that no, now there's no other avenue. Meaning, where are they supposed to go now? Build another Beis HaMikdash? Right? That's a problem. And the Gemara is going to spell that out. Oman tana dechai shleiva Rabbi Yossi detanya. The Gemara quotes a braisa. Am Rabbi Yossi mimnei maha kol ne'manam al taras yayin v'shem and kol yimos hashana. Kedei shalei kol echav echad olechu bone bama latzmo v'sarif para adum latzmo. Why is it that everyone's name on taras yayin, taras shemen, the purification of oil and wine, and everybody, meaning including Amaratzim as well, because a rejection of them would be basically now, what's the alternative? The alternative now is that, okay, Beis HaMikdash doesn't want me. Good. I'll open up my new Beis HaMikdash. Okay. It's right. As we've seen numerous times throughout Shas, it's been done. They went down to Egypt to build a new Beis HaMikdash. Okay, good. So fine. So it's been done. So what we'd like to try to do is we'd like to prevent it. So now here's basically what we're saying. We're saying is that when it comes to Kodesh, the reason why these are concerns that we're ready to entertain is because by Truma, let's start with Truma because it's a little bit easier. By Truma, we're not really going to be worried about, we're not going to be worried because by Truma, what we can always do is we can always do rejection. Meaning Amaretz wants to come over to you. Hey, take my Truma. I made him in my kelim. You know, the kelim that I toveled in the mikvah. Again, the Amaretz is not knowledgeable in halacha. Doesn't know the issues of chatzitza and shofar zanot, and so therefore you could simply say to him, no, thank you. And when we tovel, so these are concerns, but these are concerns that we're going to navigate. Meaning, if you're knowledgeable about the halachas, you'll just simply will not run into neither the issue of chatzitza or shofar zanot. And so good. So by truma now, it's not a concern by truma because as long as you're knowledgeable, you could sidestep these issues. the Amaretz is not knowledgeable, so no. But by Kodesh, however, so there we're going to have to create uniformity. And by Kodesh, we're just simply going to have to say it doesn't work, period. What about the Chaver who knows the halachas? Great. But the Amaretz doesn't know about the halachas. So what are we going to now have? We're going to have a class system where by Kodesh, the Chaverim Kalim are good and the Amaretz Kalim are no good. And then that's going to force us now to turn to the Amaretz and say, look, I'm really sorry. We can't accept your Kodesh. You didn't tell them correctly. But we did. And now what? Now they have no other avenue and they're going to open up their new Beis Mikdash. Okay. Good. That takes us to the end of that stage of the Gemara. And now we have a somewhat better understanding of why these concerns are in fact concerns by Kodesh, but not by Truma. Amra Papa. One other point over here. Kamami Kablina Ina Sadusa. Amaretz. Nowadays we accept testimony from an Amaretz. Kamani Karev Yossi. Okay, and that goes like the sheet of Rav Yossi. Meaning that basically Rav Yossi is sensitive and concerned about the fact that if we reject the Amaretz enough times, so it's going to create a schism. And in order to prevent that, so we're going to have to make some concessions. So one concession we learned two concessions in today's daf. One is that by Kodesh, so a flat rule that Kli B'Soch Kli doesn't work, period. In other words, for the Chaverim, it could work. No, we're going to say no. No across the board. So now everyone is uniform. And as a result of that, we are going to include the Amaratzim. A second arena where we're going to have to make a concession, according to Rav Yossi, is that we're going to accept testimony from Amaretz, which means that in principle, now I say principle, by the way, you have to wonder how strong a principle it is, but in principle, you cannot accept testimony from an Amaretz, but we're going to accept the testimony from an Amaretz because once again, a rejection of them is going to create schism. Okay. It's interesting, by the way, because if you're reading the Gemara carefully, it says Lefi Rabbi Yossi. It kind of sounds like from the Gemara that there is another viewpoint on this matter. Meaning we're relying on the Shita Rabbi Yossi, which means that out there, a group of other Tanaim seem to suggest that we're not going to create a concession. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. Again, I know that we could go dive deeper into that issue. We're not going to. We're going to go on. Okay. V'nechus l'sheila. So good. So for the rest of today's daf, we're going to try to address a very simple question. And that is that when it comes to Truma, so we're knowledgeable about how to tovel our kalim, so therefore we're good. The Amaratzim are not knowledgeable. Okay. So by Truma, we're just simply going to say no. Meaning when they offer us Truma, we're going to say no. Okay. But what about the following? Let's say that I need a kli and my neighbor happens to be a Kohen. And so what I do is I knock on his door I'm a Kohen and I need a kli. And my neighbor is next door to me. It happens to be, and I live next door to an Amaretz. Okay. Aren't I going to borrow his kalim at any point in time? And maybe you'll tell me, no, I'm not going to borrow his kalim. As we're going to be learning over the next half an amud of Gemara, no, it's understood that people borrow kalim from one another. Even between Chaverim and Amaratzim, people borrow kalim from one another. So shouldn't that be a concern now? Meaning if they don't know how to properly tovel their kli, so should if in fact borrowing is acceptable, which it's going to take the Gemara a minute to prove, but we're going to prove it, that borrowing is acceptable. So then what just happened over here? All these explanations that we gave just fall away. Because if I'm borrowing my neighbor's kli who's an Amaretz, so now we're back to square one, aren't we? Now it happens, I'm prepared to give away the Gemara's response to that. Even though it's coming up at the end of today's daf. And that is that what do you do when you borrow the kli? You tovel it. Okay. Ah, good. Okay, perfect. Okay, excellent. Right, I did an acceptable job setting up the Gemara. So why aren't we concerned about Sheila? Did not. So here now, the Gemara is going to make a case that people do in fact borrow kalim. How do I know that? So we're going to start here with a Mishnah Nadios. Kli Cheres Matzel, I'll call Divrei Beis Hillel. So Kli Cheres is Matzel. Okay, creating separation so that the Tumas Mace, which is going up, I'm going to do this really quickly, and honestly, I'm going to do it too quickly. I apologize. I'm not going to go give all the explanations necessary right now. I'm looking at the time. Okay. Anyway, but when Tumas Mace goes up, so a roof is going to stop it. A roof is going to stop it. What about a Kli? Kli's not going to stop it. But a Kli Cheres will stop it. Okay, so Kli Cheres Matzel, I'll call Divrei Beis Hillel. Beishamei Omrim, Eino Matzel, Ela Al Ochlim Va'al Mashkim, Va'al Kli Cheres. So Beis Shammai takes a really interesting position. Nah. In other words, you know what's going to save? It's going to save food. It's going to save drink. It'll save the Kli Cheres itself. But that's it, though. In other words, for everything else, the Tumas Mace is going to go right through that Kli Cheres. Okay. We're talking about Kli Cheres right now. So Amar Lam Beis Ola Beis Shammai Mnei Meima Amar Beis Shammai Mnei Shu Tamei Agabe Ama Aretz. So so Beis Ola says to Beis Shammai, what's going on over here? Why is the Kli Cheres not going to stop the Tumas Mace going up? And the answer is because, look, what happened is that the Am Haaretz touched the Kli Cheres. Oh. And now the Kli Cheres is Tameh. And you know, Kalim will stop Tumah, but the Kli has to be a Tara Kli. If the Kli Cheres now is Tameh, so now it allows the Tumah to go straight up. So if it ain't Kli Tameh Chotzeitz, and the Kli Tameh is not going to be Chotzeitz. So Amar Lam Beis Hillel, V'alo Tiartem Ochlim Amashkim Shebesocha. So, Beis Hillel says to Beit Shammai, but wait one second. So I got you, but only up to a point. You also the same. You Beis Shammai are also of the same position that the Ochlin and Amashkin that are inside are going to be Tahor. So you are advancing the following two arguments, which are incompatible. You're saying that the Am Haaretz was metame the Kli Cheres, and therefore the Tumah goes right through. Oh, but the Ochlin and Amashkin inside, they're going to be okay. What? So Amar Lehem Beis Shammai Kishitarnu Ochlin and Amashkin Shebetzocho Liatzmo. Tiharno aval nitayas akli shetarasa lecha ulo. So when we were mitire the food inside, we just did that for the Am Haaretz. But as far as the kli is concerned, so that's going to affect not only the Am Haaretz, but it's going to also affect the chaver as well. Okay, now that means to say that in this response of Beis Shammai to Beis Hillel, there is a supposition, which is that the kli of the Am Haaretz is going to be used by everybody. It'll be used by the Am Haaretz. It'll be used by the chaver as well. That's the key line for us, meaning that's what we need to hear, because that's going to really be, it's a pretty strong proof. That's going to be the premise of the idea that the Kalim of Am Haaretz are going to be barred by the Chavim as well. But as long as we're here in this debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the Gemara is just going to finish off what was the epilogue of that debate. So Tanya, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Rabbi Yeshua, Boshni Medivrei and Beis Shammai. So Rabbi Yeshua says, look, this position of Beis Shammai, I'm embarrassed. Okay, I know it's very strong language. I'm embarrassed by their position. So Efshar Isha Lasha Bareva Isha Bareva Tameha Shiva Ubatsek Tahor. So a woman is making dough in a bowl, and you're telling me that the woman and the bowl themselves are tameh, but the dough itself is going to be tahor. In other words, how it's incompatible. Period. And another example: Lugan Malay Mashkin Lugan Tameh Tumas Shiva Umashkin Tahorin. And the same basic idea. I have a flask and there's water inside, and the flask itself is tameh, but the water inside is tahor. So netapal otamet echem itameh de Beis Shammai. So a student of Beis Shammai says, "Here, can I try to explain this to you? I will. Amar lo omer lecha tamen shel Beis Shammai. Amar lo emor. Can I try to explain to you the explanation, the reason behind Beis Shammai?" And so Rabbi Yeshua says, "Yeah, I'm open." So amar lo kli tameh chotzeitz or nechotzeitz. So let's start off. What's the rule? Kli tameh. Does it create a barrier or does it not? So Amrle Enu Chotzeitz. Okay, good. So as a basic premise is that if the Kli itself is Tameh, so the Tumah just goes straight through the Kli. Okay, now, Kli Shel Am Haaretz, Tameh or Tahor. Now the Kli of an Am Haaretz, is it Tameh or Tahor? Amr Lo, Tameh. Okay, so the Kli of an Am Haaretz is Tameh. So far, so good. Meaning, we're just making logical step after logical step. Next, V'imata Omer Lo, Tameh, Klo Mashkeh Chalecha. Now remember, who are you addressing right now? You're addressing the Am Haaretz. Now you tell him that his Kli is Tameh. So is he ready to listen to you? Of course the answer is going to be no. And if you describe his Kelim being Tameh, so he'll just simply say, look, my Kelim are Tahor and your Kelim are Tameh. And that's the basis behind the Shita of Beis Shammai. Meaning, we can't really go ahead and just start labeling their Kelim to be Tameh, because they're not going to listen to us on that point. Oh, so right. So basically, as a way of communicating with the Am Haaretz, so what we're doing is that we're communicating with them on their terms, not necessarily on our terms. So that's the reason behind our halacha, meaning that we have to communicate them based on their thought process, not on our thought process. So it's not that we are being inconsistent. We know what the halachas are, right? This representative Beit Shammai is. It's just that we're addressing the Am Haaretz based on their thought process, not our thought process. Now, Rabbi Yeshua at that point in time now has a better understanding of the Shita Beis Shammai, and he goes and he begs for forgiveness. Now, it says Kivrei Beis Shammai. I have to admit, this part is a little bit confusing. Meaning, this is not a machlokas between Shammai and Hillel, it's a machlokas between the students. So, he went to the grave of Beis Shammai. Sounds like there was a cemetery dedicated to the students of Beis Shammai. Anyway, Amar Nenesi Lachem Atzmos Beis Shammai, Umastumo Shalachem, Kachma Fershas Alachas Kama Vekama. Look, everything you're saying, the things I didn't understand, all I did is just gain a little bit better understanding of the things that didn't make sense, and the things that you say that do make sense, how much more so. In other words, basically, I'm humbled. I'm humbled, and at first I flatly rejected your position, but now I have a little bit of a better window in understanding your position. Amru kol yamavu chshadu shinav mimnei tani yosef. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Yoshua was so anxious, so stressed, so guilt-ridden over the fact that he, for a good part of his life, he just simply rejected Beis Shammai. And now he understood that it's not a good position to reject Beis Shammai. And so therefore he fasted day after day, his teeth blackened. In other words, he did a tremendous amount of tshuva over his original position that he took in general to the Shita Beis Shammai. All that's interesting, that is not relevant to our discussion. What is relevant to our discussion is that in the line that we saw on the top of the Amud, it says that the Kalim are going to be, when we're addressing their Kalim, that psak for the Kalim is going to affect not only the Amaretz, but the Chaver as well. Meaning the Chaverim do in fact borrow the Kalim of an Amaretz. Ketanit mias, lecha, velo. So it's that line of the Mishnah. It's not even a line. Two words of the Mishnah, which are significant. Amashalina minayu. So therefore we borrow Kalim from them. And so now, let's just reset the question. So now we said that by truma, so we're going to be able to navigate, and for the kohanim they ketova kli besoch kli because they're knowledgeable. The amaratzim, on the other hand, who are not knowledgeable, so they're not going to who are not able to successfully tova kli besoch kli. So therefore, their tila doesn't work. Good, and that's why by truma we could just simply say to them when they offer us their truma, no, thank you, and they're going to have other avenues. And by Kodesh, as we already explained earlier this morning, where they don't have other avenues, so there, we're going to make a flat rule. Nobody can tova kli besoch kli. Great. Now, with all that stated, but we just established by learning a Mishnah in Adios, we end up borrowing the Kalim of an Amaretz. So didn't our whole argument fall away? So the Gemara says no. And here's the answer, and I know I already gave it away earlier. So no, when we borrow Kalim from them, so here's what we do. Thank you so much for the Kli. And now what we do is we run to the mikvah and we tell them the mikvah. Now, it's true, by the way, if they learn about it, so are they going to get offended? I'd venture to guess yes. But still, okay, good. So you'll try to do it clandestinely anyway. So Yahachi Nahadru Lahu, Abeitullah Beit Shammai, Kishalim Minayim Atbilin and Lahu. So the Gemara says, so now, okay, good. So that's what you'll do with the Truma Kalim. So the Gemara says, so let's go back to that Mishnah Adios. So now, why doesn't Beis Hillel respond to Beis Shammai and say, oh, in other words, remember, what did Beis Shammai say? No, the psak that is going, that we're going to give to them, well, that's not going to affect them. It's going to affect you as well. Why doesn't Beis Hillel say, why should it affect us? Meaning, we're going to borrow Kali from them and we're just holding the mikvah. So the Gemara says, no, Tamei Meis Baya Hazah Gimav Azayin. So the response is no, because that Mishnah Adios was talking about what type of tuma? Tumas mace. Tumas mace is not going to just simply be resolved by toveling in the mikvah. So tumas mace, you need to sprinkle it with the power of the with the mechatas on the third and the seventh day, and then afterwards you tovel in the mikvah. And now you're talking about in order to use the borrowed kalim, so you're going to need to do hazah for on Gimel and Zayin. Tovel in the mikvah on the seventh day. Who's borrowing a kli for 7 days? I mean, people do, but as a standard answer, that's no good. In other words, if you're talking about truma, and all we're worried about is not tumas mace, but other types of tuma, where I don't need, or all it needs to be toveled in the mikvah, and hair of shemesh, okay. So for that, that's no problem at all. I'll borrow a kli, I'll tovel in the mikvah, and I'll use it tonight, that's fine. But if tumas mace is the issue, so for that, no one's gonna, first wait 7 days and then and only then, and have to go through the process of Gimel V'Zayin and then use it? No one's going to do that. It's just it's an impractical response. And that's why Beis Hillel didn't give it. Okay. We're going to pause over here. We will, a little bit behind, but we'll tomorrow's daf is a little bit shorter. Okay, let's quickly recap a daf today. Interesting daf. Admittedly, it's a little bit difficult. Okay, we'll start off with our Mishnah, 11 distinctions between Truma and Kodesh. We're going to be Chamer on Kodesh on 11 different issues. And the first of the issues is Kli B'Sol Kli. That for Kodesh, I cannot Tova Kli B'Sol Kli, but by Truma, you're allowed to. Why not by Kodesh? So for that, between yesterday's daf and today's daf, two answers that are given. Ravila, an issue of Chatzitza. Rava, an issue of there is no gap wide enough to create communication between the water inside the outer kli and the water in the mikvah. And if there's no communication, that inner water is not considered mikvah water. In other words, you don't have the gap of Shofar Sanod. There's nafkaminas between Rav and Ravila. We went through, the Gemara only gave one nafkamina, but we could say there are nafkaminas between the two of them. Good. This machlok is between Rav and Ravila. Machlok is amongst Tanaim already. The Gemara quoted a Braisa teaching us that. The Gemara makes a qualifier. The qualifier is that even though Kli B'Sol Kli doesn't work, according to Rava, because you don't have communication between the two, however, even if there's no communication, but I need to tovel the outer Kli, because the tefillah was effective for the outer Kli, it is also going to be effective for the inner Kli as well. The Gemara uses a principle of Migu in this context over here. Good. Then the Gemara, on the middle of Chav Beis Aman Aleph, asks a basic question. Whichever explanation you go with, Ravila or Rava, Chatzitza or Shofar Sanod, whichever explanation, why are we only worried about that regarding Kodesh? Why are we not also worried about that regarding Truma as well? It's a basic question. The Gemara gives the basic answer, and that is that by Truma, so we could tover our Kelim Kli B'Sol Kli, we're knowledgeable about the Halacha, we'll do it correctly. The Amaratzim, however, are not knowledgeable. So what we'll just simply do is that when they offer us Truma, we'll just simply say thank you, but no thank you. So why don't we do the same thing by Kodesh as well? Because by Kodesh, there's only one address for Kodesh. And a rejection of the Amaratzim would then induce them to go ahead and make their own Beis HaMikdash. And we don't want to do that. And therefore, by Kodesh, we're just going to standardize and uniform the entire playing field. And so nobody can do Kli B'Sol Kli. Okay. Next question of the Gemara, don't we know that people borrow other people's kalim? And based on the Mishnah Adios, even for Truma, people borrow other people's kalim. If they're not knowledgeable at how to tovel Kli B'Sol Kli, how can I borrow other people's kalim? And the Mishnah and Adios, this is making a long story short, the Mishnah and Adios says that we do borrow, so why aren't we worried there? The Gemara gives a really simple answer. Because when the Chavar borrows a Kli from the Amaretz, so he'll tovel in the mikvah. I in the Mishnah Adios, you didn't hear that in the Mishnah Adios? Yeah, because the Mishnah Adios was talking about Tumas Meis. That's going to require 7 days of correction. We'll stop over here. We'll pause over here. Pick it up tomorrow.